You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show, now with a live studio audience. Whoa, calm down. Calm down. I know you're all excited to be here. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about a few things we have been checking out. And we have a couple weeks worth of stuff to go over since we took...
Doesn't mean we did much.
Well, that's true. Well, other than like eating a bunch for Thanksgiving, you know. Yeah.
I had this turkey. I don't know if you guys did, but I ate turkey.
Well, I tell you, I could start. I actually got through and finished Pokemon Shield, which is pretty cool.
I didn't sound too sure about that.
Well, you know, that's kind of my review of it. It's okay.
I'm right up at the end, like literally at the last battle in the storyline, and it's good.
Yeah. That's exactly the feeling that I had with it. Like it's fine. You know, you don't go into a Pokemon game for like the story typically. It's kind of secondary to the catching and the whatnot.
Particularly wasn't that great. Not as bad as X and Y.
Yes.
X and Y had the dumbest storyline I think I've ever seen in a video game.
Yep. And this one actually feels like they finished it, not like what was the last one?
Sun and Moon,
where the last like island and a half of Sun and Moon was just like, oh yeah, okay, we're done.
I never finished it. It felt like they were done. So why should I keep going?
Yeah, right. But this one at least feels like they finished it. There is a little bit of a post game, which I hated.
Why?
You basically have to go back through and go to each of the gyms again and fight a giant thing. While these two really annoying characters like tell you how great they are and how much you suck. and it takes like a half hour at most. It's kind of a bummer, but that's not what you go into Pokemon for. You go into it to catch the things and, you know,
explore the world
and it's still enjoyable. I'm still having fun going through and trying to, you know, get all the things. But
the wild area is really cool. I like going around in there and finding items and
the open world. Doing
the raids.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the open world section of this game, it would be probably on the lower end if you're looking at, you know, all of the games, you know, together. I think this one is fine. I think in the long term, it's not going to be remembered as like the best one, but it's because of the open world area. I think it's going to be kind of upper half. Like Gold and Silver was like the best,
and they made the gym battles are so cool.
They are
the stadium style battles are awesome, and I hope that's something they hold on to for future games.
And post game, you can go back. You don't go to each gym like after you do everything. You don't go to each gym and fight, but you can do that bracket. Like end of the game, you can go back to that final gym and do the bracket again as many times as you want. And that's pretty cool. Plus, they open up a something like the Battle Tower thing.
They always have something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fine. It's fun. But like, I don't know. I'm still going to spend some time in it, try to catch all the things. But like, probably not going to burn it through it quite like I did some of the previous games.
I think it's clear that they were running out of time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They should really give them more time to make the next one. I know they got to get one out every year or whatever, but like,
yeah,
a lot of the later towns are like, oh, there's two houses here.
There's two houses and a thing. Yeah. And yeah, that's it.
And it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. Like the fairy Pokemon town with all the glowing
they
mushrooms.
They spent a lot of time on that one.
That one looks really cool, but there's two houses.
Yeah.
And the, Piers' town that I forget the name
There's nothing
of.
To it.
Yeah, but it looks really cool.
It looks neat, but there's nothing to it.
And it has
a straight line.
Yeah, the gym battle is like it's like a fake beat-em-up game.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
But there's no town there.
Yeah.
I'm like, where do I buy cool clothes like these people have? Oh, I don't? Okay.
Yeah, I do like some of the characterization of some of the later gym leaders.
Yeah.
Like the old lady, Opal. is probably my favorite of the bunch.
Obul is fun and nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Just crazy old lady.
I like Piers, and I
Piers
like
is good.
Marnie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I saw as more of, this is actually my rival, not the other kid mm-hmm. that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I think that's the other thing with this game. There's no, like, one true, like, rival kind of thing. Like, the there's always been, like, okay, you're going through and fighting all the gems and getting all the badges and collecting all the things, but there's always, like, a secondary thing. Like, in Red and the originals, it's like you're fighting Team Rocket and you're stopping, like, a gang from, like, taking over the world, and, like, Gold and Silver, you're fighting them again because why not?
Or Team Skull. And
Team Skull, which is fun. This one, it's like, oh, okay, so the guy that you're pretty sure is a bad guy at the beginning when you meet him the first time, he's actually a bad guy. Just go beat him up and you're done.
There's a team, but you don't know anything really about him.
They don't
say
anything.
Last 10 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's kind
of... I was like... What the heck is Marcos Cosmos Construction?
Yeah, exactly. They throw that in at you at the last second, and it made no sense.
The only thing I liked about Hop, which was, I guess, your rival for this one, is that at least he had kind of a character arc.
A little bit.
He kind of questioned himself and, like, can I really do this? And you don't see any of it, really.
Hey,
but...
guess what? He does that in the post game too. He has another crisis of conscience.
Well, now that ruins it.
Yeah, it does. It sure does. So, yeah. But I would still say it's definitely worth picking up. I mean, you're never going to find it on sale because it's a Nintendo game and they never go on sale.
And it's also a Pokemon game.
But honestly, if it came down to picking either this one or last year's Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, I would go with last year's, honestly. I like the extra amount of effort that they put into that game. The catching mechanics are a little different. But I think I enjoyed that one more, honestly.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't agree.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I can understand. Yeah, I can see that.
Sure, sure.
It just wasn't different enough for me. Like, a lot of it was different, yes, but I don't know. I didn't finish it, and I've almost finished this one, so I think that means something.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
I say if you're between this and Luigi's Mansion,
Luigi's Mansion. Yeah, sure. okay, and the other thing that I checked out, so as per tradition, the day after Thanksgiving, when everyone else is out Black Friday shopping, I hole up in my house and do nothing because I don't want to add to all of that mess.
You don't want to be part of the problem.
I've worked in retail long enough. I don't want to even bother.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, no. But so I watched a couple of movies during that day. A couple of the highlights. So Netflix every year puts out Christmas movies. You know, the really bad, like almost purposely bad, like romantic comedy Christmas movie.
What one did we watch last year? We were just talking about the other day.
Was it The Christmas Switch with Vanessa Hudgens?
No.
Okay, because that one's actually pretty good.
It wasn't the romantic one. It was the one with Kurt Russell.
Oh, The Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah.
That was super good.
That one was fun.
That one was really good. Well, this year they released one of two Netflix originals that they're putting out. The first one is, I think it's called like The Christmas Night or The Night Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Where it's like the movie Kate and Leopold. Have you ever seen that classic
with
Meg Ryan and
some guy
Wolverine?
Wolverine.
It's Hugh Jackman. As a time displaced guy that comes to the present and he's fish out of water, doesn't know what he's doing.
It's Enchanted.
Yeah, basically.
It's the film Enchanted.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, imagine that. But everyone except Vanessa Hudgens is a bad actor. Yeah, like there's so many like anachronisms with the knight himself, Sir Cole.
Sir Cole?
Which I'm pretty sure.
Sir Cole?
Yeah, that's what we said when we watched it. Yeah.
That just seems ill-advised.
Yeah.
Like they didn't think about it.
Oh, yeah, no. And they did not make that joke in the show. That's the worst part. No, there's a large section where he learns about modern day by watching Netflix movies.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So he's like, so where is this horseman?
It is I mean, it is enjoyable in like the worst way. Like it's like, just bad.
In my time, we rode horses, not listen to them talk about their alcoholism.
But yeah, so I would maybe steer clear of that one, honestly. But I'm looking forward to the new one that's coming out here in the next couple days. Was it the Christmas Prince 3?
We can't watch that. The baby. We haven't seen the first two.
Oh, you need to watch the first two because they're terrible. Again, terrible in the most enjoyable way. Rose McIver is like a... Oh. Yeah, yeah.
I'm interested.
See, there you go. Yeah. iZombie or Power Rangers RPM.
Is that the one we tried watching and then you quit half, like 5 minutes in?
No, I think that was Christmas Switch. Does that one involve baking?
Yes, that one involves baking.
Yeah, we backed out of that one about 5 minutes in.
Yeah. No, the Christmas Prince movies, they are, I can't even describe like the leaps in logic that happen within this movie. That
it's like Hallmark movies.
It's Hallmark movies that know they're bad, which is just the best.
The Sharknado of Hallmark movies?
Kinda, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, no, the first one dealt with the prince losing his throne because he finds out he's adopted, but also then opening up a giant acorn where his dead king dad put like a royal decree saying, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to make it so my adopted son can be king anyway. The king didn't like leave it for anyone to find.
What?
He left it inside a giant decorative acorn.
Which is not even Christmassy.
It's not.
They could have made it a... stocking.
They could have done anything.
So, yeah, anything other than an acorn.
I just remembered the acorn shows up in the Night Before Christmas because it's all in the same cinematic universe.
Are you serious?
It's real. It's a real thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, Jordan and I we're both like, oh, it's the thing. Oh, it's great. But last movie I watched, and this is not a Christmas Netflix movie. This is actually one from my collection that I had bought like in a $5 bin and never watched. It is called You're the Hunter from the Future, or Hunter for the Future.
Y-O-R.
Y-O-R.
No you.
So it was made around the time of the, you know, Conan the Barbarian.
I'm going to guess Conan.
Yeah, Conan the Barbarian was big. So a lot of low-budget, film companies, Italian.
This one is super man.
Yeah, this one's super Italian.
Oh no,
which is the best?
Spaghetti Barbarian.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like he's a barbarian that fights animatronic dinosaurs, and also like, you know, he rescues like three or four different, you know, ladies throughout the whole thing, and then it turns out he's actually in the future. Like he's from a future, like cyber thing.
Up.
Yeah, kind of.
You maniacs.
Yeah, kind of. But it's starring an actor named Reb Brown. Now, if that name sounds familiar, have you ever watched Space Mutiny?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's that guy.
It's Biff McHardcheese.
Biff Hardcheese. Yeah. It's Brick Slam Fist or whatever his name was. They called him on Mystery Science Theater. But no, it's that guy, and it's just rotten.
Does it have as many go-karts as Space Mutiny?
It does not have as many go-karts, but it has this really catchy synth-like song about how Yor is the hero of the future that comes in at the most inopportune times. Like, you know, he's fighting a dinosaur and you hear this, Yor, he's from the future! Like this weird, like, oh, it's so...
Oh my.
Oh, it's so weird.
You should cut it in.
I'm going to. Yeah, I'm going to. During the break, I'll play it for you guys because it's super rotten. Well, that's me. That's what I've done. I mean.
Hey, we went to Mystery Science Theater Live a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We haven't been on the show since to talk about
it. Oh, I could talk about something similar to that, actually. You guys go first.
We went to, they went to one of the live shows of Mystery Science Theater Live, the Cheesy Movie Circus Tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was really cool.
It was in Springfield, which is kind of odd.
That's kind of
like weird, like performing arts center. Like I don't know how to describe it.
I don't know. I'll describe it as cheaper than the show that was in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
That's why we went there.
Gotcha.
By like a good $15.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
The movie was some bizarre circus movie about a German plastic surgeon
buys a circus.
Okay.
And then women start dying under mysterious circumstances, and it was just, it was weird and made very little sense.
That sounds like it.
It was one of those where after you watched it, it was like, what happened? Like, what was that even about? The riffing was good. They sat at the right side of the screen with the puppets there.
Oh, they had the puppets. Excellent. Yeah. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And, yeah, you could see them the whole time. Mm. A lot of times it was more fun to watch the puppets than the movie. And they had host segments in between. Like, it was like an episode of the TV show, but on stage.
Oh, okay.
Except the puppetry was, like, very impressive. Yeah. They, like, really went out of their way. They used, like, that... What's that Japanese style of puppetry where people wear black suits on black so you don't see the people moving the puppets around?
Oh, yeah.
I forget what the word is. But that's how they did it. So,
interesting.
Crow had legs.
Like, full, like human-sized legs.
Oh,
and was
really?
Walking around, you know, kind of walking around.
Wow.
It was really impressive and neat. Like, you don't get to see a lot of live puppetry these days. Even Servo had legs at one point. And
little
did a
teeny tiny little ones.
Yeah, and did a little dance number with one of the... There was a couple new characters that they added just for the stage show.
Oh, okay.
There was a... Just some girl that was like kind
the
of
wrangler.
Yeah, the wrangler, the bot wrangler. But she's kind of like Joel's sidekick.
Oh, okay.
And there was a new mad character that was a Mega Cynthia.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was a synthetic clone of both Pearl and Cynthia from the new series.
From the new series, yeah.
She's super tall.
Yeah, she's really tall. And she was really funny, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Both of these new people that they added were pretty funny.
Awesome. So it was Joel that was riffing? It wasn't Jonah?
Or yeah, it was Joel.
It was Joel. Oh, okay.
And then Crow and Servo, but they were voiced by different people that I don't remember who they were.
Oh, okay.
They did a good job.
But yeah, they did a good job. Servo sounded a little different, but Crow, whenever they do Crow, people can usually nail Crow and make him sound right.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. But
yeah.
I had a good little plot line about Servo being afraid of butterflies.
Okay.
A little puppet butterfly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
But I'd recommend it. I don't know if they'll be back around this way. Probably not, but
yeah.
It's not touring anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might be touring eventually. Like, I mean, they're not going to be doing much.
It might be the thing they do now.
Currently, yeah.
We'll elaborate on that later,
right?
In the show,
yeah. Well, the thing that I was going to tag up with that is, I went to another Mystery Science Theater esque thing. They had the Mads show down at the Gateway.
The Mads are back.
The Mads are back. Yes. So that's the original two of the original guys from the show, Trace Bellew and Frank Conniff. They riffed a movie. The Thing. What's it called? The Thing Walks Among Us or something like that. It's like basically someone made a ripoff of the Creature from the Black Lagoon, but what if he all of a sudden started walking on land? Taking like the fun out of the whole thing. But it was a lot of fun. We went down, we thought it was just going to be like a simulcast kind of thing, kind of like the Riff Tracks.
Oh, really? But, you didn't know it was
live until we were about halfway down there. Yeah.
I almost went too.
Yeah.
Because I saw it on Facebook, but I don't know, we had school or something.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. We actually got a chance to talk with them after the show, and that was pretty cool. They had a little Q&A, which was pretty neat. Frank yelled at Jordan at one point. She groaned extra loud at one of the riffs, and he said, "Hey, it's tough to do this. Come on, they're not all winners." So that was pretty fun. But yeah, it was pretty fun. It was a pretty good time.
I wish the Mystery Science Theater show would have had a meet and greet at the end, but that's, you gotta buy a VIP ticket for that.
Oh, sure.
It's like,
yeah.
I just want my picture with Joel and the puppets.
Yeah,
like,
that would be
that's
yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even just the puppets.
Yeah.
I finally bit the bullet and got Death Stranding. Because I think I talked about it on here before that I was worried
about
it.
That you didn't want to, and then me talking a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it literally does not sound like a video game that I would like, because it's just a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah, it is.
But it turns out that I do like that. And there's something weirdly relaxing about delivering packages around.
Yeah, yeah.
A post-apocalyptic...
UPS man.
Yeah. It's just kind of... I like the gameplay of, like, having to watch where you're walking and balancing your packages.
Very zen.
Yeah, there is something weirdly zen about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you get attacked by the BT monsters.
The weird ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The goopy boys. Which it
took me the longest time to figure out how to do it right, but I think I've got a handle on it now. It's a lot of stopping and holding your breath and looking around.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a PlayStation, so I've actually just been watching Let's Plays of it at, you know, to kind of, you know, at work, trying to, you know, relax and kind of catch up with it. And the one player that I watched got through it, and that is a heck of a game. It is a heck of an ending. The guy who plays Die Hard Man, as stupid as his name sounds, I wish video game actors could get, like, acting awards, because that dude goes for it. Like, he nails it.
I just got to chapter 3 with, how do you pronounce her name? Lea Seydoux?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's great. I really like her.
Yeah, as Fragile.
Fragile, yeah, the character.
But not that Fragile.
Yeah.
She says that like 7 times.
Yeah. She looks cool. Like, so her character design, she looks like a rad Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Well, that's specifically what they were going for because of the umbrella and the bag. Yeah. Yeah.
And the cool little spikes that extend out of her suit when there's trouble.
Yeah. Wait till you get to the Heartman chapter, because I have a feeling he is going to be one of your favorite characters. I just kind of have a feeling.
Yeah, but I'm surprised at how much I ended up liking it. I should have trusted Kojima, because he's never done me wrong before. Yeah.
Have you found Conan O'Brien yet?
No. Okay. I found Junji Ito the other day.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely in there.
Yeah, he's like the engineer or something.
Yeah, they gave him some weird, like, southern accent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird to see, like, this Japanese man with a southern accent, American accent coming out of his mouth. But, you know, it's cool that he's there. He's one of my favorite manga guys.
Yeah, yeah. But, it is surprisingly relaxing to watch, at least. And when it comes out on PC, I'll probably end up picking it up.
I forgot it was coming out on PC.
Well, hey, let's go ahead and stop here. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Yours World from Your Hunter from the Future.
We talked about it, and it's a serious banger. So,
it really is.
Something.
It sure is something. Hey, I can't believe that Weird Al has never made a James Bond song.
You know,
that's why we played this instead of that.
Yeah, instead of the James Bond song that for some reason Weird Al has yet to make.
Yes.
There's still time. He could do it.
He could do it, yeah. Hey, speaking of James Bond, let's talk about that.
Yeah, there was a trailer for the new one.
Yeah.
Which, his name escapes me. No time to die hard.
No.
No live or let die twice. The direct sequel to Live or Let Die.
That's it. Yeah, but no, James Bond, No Time to Die. It's I think this is the last of the Daniel Craig James Bonds,
yay.
If I believe. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm not interested in his version.
Have you even watched one?
No, I have not.
Then what?
It's just too gritty and punchy, and I like the suave James Bond that has a watch that shoots a laser.
Yeah, you know what? I think I think that's my problem with it as well. Like, I can appreciate these James Bond movies as good, like, action movies, but, like, he doesn't seem like James Bond to me. I don't know. I liked Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Like, the movies he had been in, like, the Pierce Brosnan Bonds are not good movies, but, like, he is kind of James Bond. Like, he gives off that kind of air of, like, I am a, you know, a suave, debonair, you know, super spy.
Spyman.
And Daniel Craig, I mean, you know, he's an action punch man, and that's great in action punch movies, but, like, I don't know. But the trailer itself, this one looks pretty good.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting choice to make the villain be the Phantom of the Opera.
That is yes. Yeah, that is definitely part of it.
I'm really hoping that they put some more Universal monsters in there. Mm-hmm. You know, see James Bond fight Frankenstein. I'd pay good money for that movie.
Oh, now the question is, would this tie in with The Mummy?
Yeah. The Invisible Man might very well be in it.
Oh, we would never know. We'd never know. That's very true. Yeah.
That's the one character James Bond could never beat. Yeah. You know, you'd never find him.
Yeah. Well,
he's the true stealth master.
Well, you know, Q would probably come up with something.
That's true.
Yeah.
He could probably, like, infrared see him.
Probably. Yeah. I also liked John Cleese as Q. I think he's my favorite Q, just because he was so, like, done and over with, like, Bond always breaking his stuff. It's like, come on, just bring this car back in one piece, James. Please. For me? Your pal?
When you said done and over with, I thought you were talking about John Cleese's attitude, which is, that's usually about where
he's at these days. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Speaking of James Bond, there's actually a podcast that I've been listening to. It's called Spectre, where they the two hosts have been going through and watching each James Bond movie. But they're not going in chronological order. They're watching the first Sean Connery movie, and then they watch the first George Lazenby movie, and then going through them with all the actors, and then going back and watching like the second, you know, just kind of going that way. So they're getting a good mix of like the old stuff and the newer stuff. And it's really interesting to listen to them talk, and it's pretty funny as well.
I've never been like a big James Bond guy. Like, I've only seen all the way through maybe one James Bond movie.
I tried it at one point. I watched the bad one with Pierce Brosnan, the one that introduced Jinx. I've seen Dr. No, the very, very first one, and that movie is incredibly slow.
I've seen, like, the beginning of Goldfinger.
Okay, Goldfinger's pretty good.
Moonraker's
pretty fun.
I want to watch that one.
Yeah.
That does look like a lot of fun. I want to see the one where he's got the car that turns into a submarine.
That's a pretty fun one. Yeah. Yeah. Jaws is great and indestructible. He is the best. He bites a shark in one of the movies. He bites a shark until it dies.
Oh, no.
Yes. But you know what finally defeats Jaws? Love.
His own hubris?
Jaws, the big, big, tall man with the metal teeth, falls in love with a 5-foot-tall woman. And they go off to live happily ever after. To have weird metal teeth children.
Yes, they're genetic.
The metal teeth are genetic. Yes. But no, this trailer looks pretty fun. I may go and see it. I kind of like the people that are going to be in it.
The one where that lady's going to become Bond?
I think so, yeah. And that's kind of the big draw for me as well. Because I would be interested in seeing like someone other than a white British guy be a Bond.
Yeah.
Jamie Bond.
Isn't she in Captain Marvel?
Yes.
I can't remember her name.
Not Monica Rambeau, because that's her daughter.
Right.
But something Rambeau.
Yeah, the actress that played the friend
in
Captain Marvel.
But Captain Marvel's friend, someone Rambeau.
Someone, yes. M name Rambeau. And not Rambo.
Yeah. Captain Marvel's friend, John Rambo.
Yeah, there we go. Be a different movie. Completely different movie.
I don't know. I need to start my spec script of James Bond versus the Invisible Man.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. While you're doing that, let's talk about the Black Widow trailer, since we were talking about Marvel stuff.
And there. Spies.
Yeah, and spies. Yeah.
It works.
See? Thematic.
You'll never see this episode coming.
That's right. But yeah, Marvel Studios released a teaser for which was almost like a full-blown trailer.
Now I have the song from Persona 5 stuck in my head.
Yeah, I can't get the Hunter from the Future out of my head. But
this trailer was cool.
Yeah, it was really neat.
I've wanted a Black Widow movie since Iron Man 2, so
yes.
It's about time.
It's about time, although I'm finding
I'm kind of over Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
It's going to be a pretty serviceable, good movie, but I think it's too little too late.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this movie should have been made about 5 years ago.
They're fighting an uphill battle with one, Scarlett Johansson being over, and two, we already know what happens to her.
So ultimately, what is this going to do?
What's the point?
I mean, at this point, the main draw for me is David Harbour as the Red Guardian.
Yes.
That is super great. Like
that terrible accent.
Oh, the terrible accent, the way over his prime, like Captain Russia, basically, like fat, drunk Captain America for the USSR.
I love David Harbour so much. He's good in everything
great.
He does.
Oh, there's a Netflix thing. Was it David Harbour's Frankenstein?
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually seen it, but I saw the trailer. It looks very funny.
I started it, and it is hilarious. Like the whole thing is like he's fictional. He's going through his dad's fictional acting biography, where his dad's like one goal was to play his own version of Victor Frankenstein, and it's like he's like portraying himself, portraying his dad. And it's hilarious. Like I've got about 20 minutes into it, but it's great. But the other thing in this Black Widow trailer, anyway, is you get a first glimpse at Taskmaster. And honestly, I'm a little let down because they decided to go ultra military style with him.
That's boring.
Yeah, like you saw him for half a second in the trailer. He's the guy with the giant motorcycle helmet that pulls out the bow, come on.
Doesn't he have some kind of skull motif of some kind?
His mask is supposed to be a skull with a hood over it, and he has a dumb, stupid cape. Like, okay, so Taskmaster's whole deal, I think we've talked about this on
Taskmaster.
But for new listeners, Taskmaster basically has the ability, he's just a normal guy, normal abilities, doesn't have super strength or anything like that, but if he sees something, a movement done once, he can copy it perfectly. So, in the comics, his whole thing was, he would watch tape after tape after tape of, Captain America throwing his shield and ricocheting his shield off of things so that he could throw his shield. He doesn't have the super strength behind it, but he could throw a shield kind of like Captain America. He can do trick shots like Hawkeye because he's watched Hawkeye shoot a bow. He can swing on zip lines kind of like Spider-Man. Again, doesn't have the super agility with it, but he can mimic those actions pretty closely. And his whole deal in the comics was he wasn't out to, rob banks or take over the world. He trained henchmen for other villains. That was his whole get-rich-quick scheme. He would be who the Red Skull would hire to get his Hydra goons to learn how to, fight Captain America. It's like, okay, here's this guy that is basically, low-rent Captain America. Fight him until you're good. But, so I'm interested in seeing this character on screen because I think that's an interesting power set. But I was just kind of hoping that they would go a little more goofy with the costume because his costume's stupid. It's dumb. But
he's not a big bad level villain for this movie really either.
But with...
I guess Black Widow is not the most superpowered superhero either.
Yeah. Black Widow by herself is not going to be fighting off the Skrull invasion or Thanos by herself or Loki or something like that. They kind of need someone who's a little more ground level. They need villains around the level of Captain America, Winter Soldier. And yeah.
Or a Spider-Man level or guy, at most.
And that is kind of where this movie's going to be at, I think. And I can see the movie being good, but I have a feeling that post Endgame and everything, people are going to go, okay, well, where's the spectacle?
Yeah.
Where's the big,
Why now?
Why now?
Why this? Why now?
Yeah.
And as much as I love David Harbour and how cool and funny he looks in it. It really sucks that we watched this trailer for Black Widow and went, oh, cool, David Harbour.
Yeah, I know. But but we're not wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's their fault.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to see Rachel Weisz is in it. That's pretty great. I think she's a good actress. I think it's interesting that they're adding the multiple incarnations of Black Widow, because there's been three different Black Widows in the comics. There was a Golden Age one, which is they're using the name of for Rachel Weisz's
like the golden
character.
Age one was just a lady in a dress with a mask.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, pretty much. And then there was a second one that was a villain that was blonde, who is their. They call her sister in the thing, but I think they mean that in more of like they were trained in the same like, you know, evil
red room
orphanage thing. I honestly think that's going to be more of the villain in this than the Taskmaster.
Her dealing with her trauma type of scenario.
Yeah, and you know, there is room for that to be a really good movie in there.
I mean, I hope it's good. It should be good.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go see it probably opening weekend, but like, I just don't think it's going to be at that level. And I think the reviews are going to suffer because of it. This movie should have been done 5 years ago.
Maybe
eight or nine years
ago. Like,
yeah. At the very least, it should have been released
before Avengers.
Before Avengers or before Infinity War. Yeah. At the very least. At the absolute very least. But
there should have been a Black Widow movie before there was the Captain Marvel movie.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I love Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brie Larson knocked it out of the park in that. But like, yeah, she should have gotten her own movie around that time, like before then. Also, and this is just an aside, there's a lot of online discourse of people going, oh, which one do you like better, Captain Marvel or Black Widow? There's room for both.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't have to pit them against each other.
Guess what? There's not that many female superhero-led films. You don't have to immediately pit them against each other. It's not cool. You don't do that. Like, which? Oh, man.
Yeah, Thor or Captain America, you can only have one.
I was like, no. Yeah. No, it doesn't
also
work like that.
Also, they're so very different characters.
Yes.
They're humongously different characters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you want to see a spy movie? You want to see a space superhero? It's completely different.
Well, you know what? We have one more trailer here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. That Crisis on Infinite Earths CW miniseries.
Which we've touched on a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've seen a trailer.
Yeah, this is actually the final trailer for it. They've released a couple of little ones here and there, but this is like the full, like the first and last full look at what the scope of this thing's going to be.
This is the big dog.
This is the big one, yeah. But yeah, so I'll be honest, I have fallen off the CW superhero shows like very much. I don't even think Josh has kept up with them, because I think he kept up with it longer than any of us.
Yeah, he was a big Flash boy for a while.
Yeah, but this trailer might pull me back in.
I know, it's tempting.
It's really tempting. Like, it has Batwoman in it, which is great.
I haven't watched that show.
Yeah.
And it looks cool.
And it looks really good.
Yeah. And we both like Supergirl and have watched like the first four episodes of that not three or four times, but at least twice trying to get into it.
The first season of Supergirl is really good when it was actually on CBS.
And it had a budget.
It was excellent. I really enjoyed that one. Black Lightning is going to be in this. That is a show that I have missed. That show has been on for 3 years. I haven't seen a single episode of it. It looks really good.
Did you not even know there was a Black Lightning show?
Yeah. It has been on for 3 years. It's on CW, but it's not in the same continuity as all the other shows until now. I honestly think this is like them also like putting everything into, okay, everything fits into one so that they don't have to have special events to cross over Supergirl and Black Lightning and all those and also to kill off Green Arrow. Because Stephen Amell wants out.
I thought he was already gone.
Well,
I legitimately thought that was over.
Well, you know, it's a bold move to kill off the lead character in your flagship show halfway through its season. Because Green Arrow is going to die in this crisis. And his show is on its final season, but it's not over yet.
He's still got 10 more episodes whatever.
It's just about like 5 or 10 more episodes. Yeah, but I'm excited to see...
They're going
to
use it as a backdoor pilot for something, aren't they?
More than likely. Oh, more than likely.
Somebody's going to show up. Ooh, Huntress. Do a Huntress show.
No, the theory that I have heard is... So he's had a buddy named John Diggle.
Yeah, I know Diggle.
Yeah, and they've been kind of having him do like various things here and there. And I have heard the rumor that they are going to somehow turn him into Jon Stewart, the Green Lantern.
Okay.
And have a backdoor Green Lantern show starring the actor that played Diggle.
Yeah.
Like, they'll say his name is actually Jon Stewart that was changed because of the military, whatever.
Something.
Yeah. You know, excuse to make a Green Lantern show, which would be great.
Yeah, go for it. He would make a good Jon Stewart Green Lantern.
He really would. I'm excited to see... Kevin Conroy, thank you. Yes, that is one of the universes they go to. It's the Kingdom Come comic book universe where all the superheroes are old. And Kevin Conroy is old Bruce Wayne in, like... robotic skeletal suit because he's so like battered and broken, but he has the Batman voice and it's exciting. That right there is probably why I'm going to watch it.
Have they done a show or a comic about superheroes that are old and they all live in the same retirement community? Has that been done?
Yes.
Oh, darn it. I thought I had just had a really good idea.
In fact, I think Gail Simone wrote it.
So I did have a really good idea.
You had a really great idea. No, it's a great idea. Yeah. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but I know something to that effect exists. I think it's like the heroes live in a retirement home and their kids are like the current heroes or something like that. And it's like the interplay between the younger and older generation, that sort of thing. What's his name? Tom Welling is going to be in this Crisis of Infinite Earths as well, the Smallville Superman, which is pretty cool. I mean, never thought I'd see him back doing anything.
The Superman that refused to wear the costume.
Yes, but we'll see. Maybe they'll make him wear the costume. Brandon Ralph is actually going to be Superman in this as well. There's going to be like 3 or 4 different Supermen, which is crazy. But it just looks really good. Excited.
Yeah, I'd watch it even though I'm not caught up on any of those shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably what they're counting on. They're kind of trying to pull people in that don't watch the shows to get them hooked. Yeah. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. Yeah. No. And I wish the DC movies would follow the TV show like the way they do it because...
Yeah, because the TV shows are good.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about that Snyder Cut again lately.
Oh, man. I don't want to see it. I don't care.
I don't care. It's not going to be any better than the one we got.
It's not going to magically make a good movie.
Yeah.
No, it's really not. It's going to be more dour and gray.
It'll be bad in a whole different way.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, maybe it'll be bad in a way that we can sit and laugh at it instead of go, oh, this just...
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Cody, why don't you pick a topic?
Hey, it's the 25th anniversary of the PlayStation.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's the thing that's happening.
Yeah.
They're not really doing like a... Now would have been the time to release that little mini console and put like good games on it.
And make it good?
Yeah, and make it good.
Yeah, but instead they had to do the bad thing.
It's great if you hack it.
Sure.
But that's neither here nor there. Isn't it nuts? The PlayStation's been around for 25 years.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah, my bones are turning to dust as we speak.
I bring this up is because, real quick, top 5 PlayStation games.
Okay, Final Fantasy VII has got to be on the list. Resident Evil, sure, yeah. I would... See, I didn't have a whole lot of PlayStation games. I had a PlayStation, but I didn't have a lot of the games. I always liked Armored Core. That would make a top 5 list, but
well, this is your personal top 5.
Personal top 5? Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, then in that case, yeah, I would go with that. I would say Marvel versus Capcom, Marvel versus SNK Millennium 2000. Although the Dreamcast version is better, I think the PlayStation version is definitely playable, definitely worth checking out.
There's a JoJo in there.
There is a JoJo in there. Yeah, that JoJo fighting game is pretty good. It's an Arxis. Oh, Guilty Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Guilty Gear. That's always a good one. Legend of the Dragoon. That's a good RPG. Criminally overlooked.
A non-Square RPG game.
Yeah.
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 Is that 5?
I think that's 5 for me. Yeah.
My 5. Okay. Final Fantasy VII, sure. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil, like you said. Because that's kind of what got me to buy a PlayStation in the first place when I'm a teenager and I see Resident Evil and I'm like, oh my God, that
That's an adult like
that's
me.
That's for adults like me, not like this Nintendo 64 that sprocket robot on wheels or whatever. I got, what am I at, two?
Mm-hmm.
Galarians is a weird pull, but for some reason I really like the story.
Okay.
You're like a psychic kid that wakes up in a facility.
Yes.
And you inject yourself with different injections to get different powers.
Yep, I vaguely remember that one.
I don't know what it
is
about that game, but I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear, solid.
Sure.
And, oh, geez. I'm at four.
Oh, geez, Rick.
I need one more.
Want to give you one of mine?
No.
Okay. You'll agree, though.
Will I? Okay, what is it?
Crash.
Oh, yeah, Crash Bandicoot. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And the first one is my favorite of the all three of them. Even if they add a bunch of stuff, I think the first one's the purest form of
purest
Crash. You go.
You stole most of mine.
That's fine. I mean, Final Fantasy VII has been the running constant.
I've never played it on a PlayStation, so I don't associate it with the PlayStation.
That's true, but it's the same game.
I don't associate with the PlayStation.
Okay, well then give
me. Just saying. Obviously, Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
It's a good one. I have memories of Matt coming home from working.
Your brother. Your
older
brother.
My brother. Yes, it's talking to you. But yeah, my brother coming home from working at Bob Evans and basically waiting for him to come home to play Resident Evil.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Night.
Yeah.
And him printing off on the ancient internet, like, walkthroughs of games.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Dino Crisis.
Oh, good call.
That crossed my mind. That's just now. I think that's funny.
I wish they'd remake that one.
Yeah.
Metal Gear, obviously.
Yeah. You got one more. It's Spyro, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you forget about Spyro?
How could I forget my boy?
I know you love that purple boy.
My purple son.
Speaking of Resident Evil,
yeah,
they announced Resident Evil 3 remake is a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Did they announce it, or was it just a leak?
It might have been a leak, but
it might as well be announced.
It was, it's a real leak. Like, it's official.
That's cool.
Yeah. That 2 remake was amazing. It was perfect. So I'm excited. I never really played 3.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe played it for 5 minutes one time. So I'm excited to. It's basically new to me.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Well, hey, we have time for one more real quick one. Hey, what is this Mario Maker update? Because it's pretty exciting stuff, right?
It's pretty cool, yeah. They're doing an update for Mario Maker 2, like they did with the first one. They'd occasionally add more stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're adding Spike, the little green man that throws spike balls.
Mm-hmm.
They're adding Pokey, the cactus, which is hard to believe he wasn't already in there before.
Right.
Yeah. Like a P-block switch that makes blocks appear.
Mm-hmm.
A frozen coin block that you can melt with fireballs.
Yeah.
And the Master Sword from Zelda that turns you into Link, who has several different moves he can do.
Like a full moveset. Yeah.
That's crazy.
He can swing his sword. He can block with his shield. He can shoot arrows. He can drop bombs.
That is wild.
Yeah. It's going to... People are going to do some really cool stuff with it.
I don't have this game yet, but this update actually makes me want to pick it up.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's worth it to get it digitally so you don't have to swap cartridges.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
And if you just want to play a couple Mario levels, it's right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a really good idea. But, yeah.
Oh, and it's got a speedrun mode where you speedrun. Nintendo curates some courses that you speedrun through with a bunch of ninjis. Which are the little black star-shaped dudes from Mario 2.
Yeah.
That looks fun.
Yeah,
if you're into speedrunning.
It looks fun. It just looks like they've added nothing but good content to this. Like, there's nothing... Like, there's no part of this update that is, like, a letdown.
Yeah.
And that is fantastic.
I was wondering if they were going to do updates for it like they did the other one, and it turns out yes, and that it's very good.
Cool. Well, okay, so if they added a Link to this update... What classic Nintendo character would you like to see added in a future update if they were to do it?
Samus. Definitely.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah, because you get the morph ball. You get shooting, like straightforward shooting that something Mario doesn't do.
Yeah.
But no crawling.
No crawling, yeah.
Yeah.
space jump would be kind of neat
that would be
Mario.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. I, for a half second, I thought, before my brain would, oh, no, that's Konami, I thought Simon Belmont would be kind of a neat, you know, have the extendo whip.
Yeah, and he just has a completely weird, different way to move.
Yeah, yeah. Having to time jumps because your jumps are so weird and broken.
Castlevania Maker would be good.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun. Yeah.
And just turn it into Super Mario Crossover.
Yeah, yeah. Super Smash Maker.
Yeah. I always liked in Super Mario Crossover the Contra dudes.
That was fun. Yeah. Yeah, Contra
that,
guy
that
was
really
good.
Changed the way you thought about a Mario level when you could only jump and shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, hey, we have reached time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can also find us on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Hey, you can give us a call and leave us a message.
What?
At 586-372-8020, and then just leave a message after the beep. Maybe we'll play it on the show.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. We should do that. Yeah, everybody, go do that. Do that thing. We also have a YouTube channel, at least for the time being.
With Kappa, who knows?
We'll get to that. But for now, you can go to YouTube, search Nerd Overload TV. Find the podcast on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more.
Oh, yeah, we got a Patreon. Donate to the... Donate, is that the right word?
Donate, yeah.
I know we have to be careful with the way we word this. Donate to the show if you want to help us out at patreon.com/nerdoverload now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can actually get the show a couple days early if you'd like. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.